Welcome to Come to the Brink. I'm Zoe Flowers, and this is a space for those of us navigating profound life changes, like loss, trauma, caregiving, and transformation. It's about what happens when everything you thought was solid crumbles beneath you and you're forced to rebuild. If you've ever felt like you're standing on the brink, this is the space for you. Welcome. So I'm outside. If you hear noise, if you hear noise in the background, that is the cars passing my apartment. I'm sitting on my balcony outside what's essentially a studio apartment, although they market it as something else, across from the park. When I was doing the manifestation for this move, one of the things I said was that I wanted to live across from a park. I didn't know why. I'd never made that request before in any places that I've lived, and I've lived in a ton of places. Oh, the church bells are ringing. The church bells ringing. Okay. Enough of the musical interludes that you all did not ask for. Welcome to Come to the Brink with Zoe Flowers. And in this episode, in this rambling, in this bonus episode, we're going to talk about fear. The shape of fear. In my last episode, I'm not sure which one, I talked about what it's like growing up in a volatile home, in a volatile environment. Well, I can't say my outside environment was volatile, because it wasn't. It couldn't have been more boring. But definitely inside my home was. And I talked about that feeling of unsafety. But it wasn't recognizable. It didn't feel like an undercurrent of my life. It just was like, hey, I lived in a house. Sometimes my parents fought. Sometimes the police came. Sometimes I had to separate them. Sometimes we had to leave in the middle of the night and go to my grandparents' house. Like, that's just kind of how it was, right? It wasn't like this undercurrent of everything that I do kind of fear. Cut to age 22, when I found myself in a violent relationship. I would say my parents wasn't, it was definitely like two-sided. It was definitely like volatile going both ways. But in my 20s, I was in like the, if you could say, stereotypical case study of a dating violence relationship. Like, he ticked all the boxes. The attempted isolation, which thank goodness didn't work, the emotional abuse, the just cutting down of my character, the then quickly followed by actual physical violence. And I was in that relationship for, I want to say, about 2 years before I left. And then stalking came, and then I left the state and started my new life. If you've read my book, From Ashes to Angel's Dust, A Journey Through Womanhood, sorry, you're hearing the story again. However, you may not know it was me, because unless you knew me, because when I wrote the book, I used fake names to protect everybody's anonymity. But when I think about it with my own stories that are in that book, I was more protecting my family by changing my name. I wasn't protecting myself. I didn't want my family to be looked at in a certain way. And maybe I didn't want myself to be looked at in a certain way, but I don't think so. I think it really was more like, yeah, I don't want my parents to be embarrassed. But now they're both gone, so, you know, I can say what I want. So that relationship, being stalked, changed me for sure. Like, there's something about having to change your schedule, not go certain places. Always looking over your shoulder. And it impacted my career. Because like I said in the earlier episodes, all I ever wanted to do was be in entertainment. But I didn't really pursue anything because of the undercurrent of fear. The undercurrent of being found out. And that fear has followed me for decades. And when I think about COVID, if I was starting to put that fear down, COVID reinforced that fear, that lack of safety, that looking over your shoulder, that lingering. That level of fierce protection that I had for my household. That I didn't, listen, the way I showed up in COVID, wow. I would have never thought I would be that person. Like, nobody can come to the house. I'm not going to anybody's house. Everybody had to have a mask. Like, I was like the COVID police. The way that the fear overtook me, the things I stopped doing. And then we know that there's other mass instances of fear when I was living in the United States that also curtailed my movements. And so now I live across from the park. And I walk to the park, I don't know, 3 to 5 times a week. And I touch trees. And yesterday, for the first time in decades, I slept in the park. I was on the park bench, sitting, and then the next thing you know, I was on the park bench, sleeping. Like, full on, laid out on the park bench, free. The gift, leaving the country, was probably the biggest gift that I gave myself. I've probably never felt as free, like bodily free, you know, like a certain freedom of movement that I haven't experienced probably ever. There was some of it in New York. I mean, I definitely felt a sense of freedom in New York. But again, there's just like this undercurrent of violence in the States that just really kept me activated. And again, maybe it's because of my history with violence, you know? Well, when I was in the States, not so much. I mean, I'm still a little bit alert here, like on alert. Like if I hear elevated voices, right? I'm like definitely listening to make sure that nobody's being abused. So that probably won't ever go away. Because also, you know, survivor of domestic and sexual violence. And then I go into a field. I go into the domestic and sexual violence field. And so in a lot of ways, that work, being in that work for 24 years actively kept that violence on my mind. And no matter how much healing work I did, no matter how many spiritual baths I took, no matter how many yoga classes I took, no matter how many retreats I went on and also led, I never could shake that feeling of fear. And we know in the metaphysical world, what you focus on expands, right? And just being in conversations about violence for 24 years, like wow. I mean, I used to mark how many years I was away from violence. And so, you know, I would say at this point, it's been 20 plus years of no physical violence in my life. Yeah, 20 plus years. And so I would mark it like, oh, wow, it's been like 5 years since I haven't had physical violence in my life. Wow, it's been like 10 years since I haven't had physical violence in my life. Wow, it's been like, right? I used to do that. Now, emotional violence, I'd say a year. I'm a year out from that. So you can do the math on that. But yeah, so as I sit here on my balcony and I watch the trees, the new buds, the buds are fighting for their life. Talk about fighting for your life, honey. This cold, like winter, like right now it feels like late fall and it's spring. Winter is holding on, okay? And so these buds, they're trying to come through, and maybe that's me. Maybe that's me trying to bloom, like really bloom, despite all odds, despite the cold, the drop in temperature, the snow that comes out of nowhere. That's kind of what it feels like sometimes being a Black woman. We never know when that cold snap is going to come. Just when we're blooming, just when we're starting to stretch, just when our roots are starting to feel firm, just when we start to feel a sense of security, boom, snowstorm, cold, ice, freezing out. And so we tuck ourselves back in. We tuck ourselves back into ourselves. We go quiet. Our leaves fall off and we're bare again. But every spring, we try again. We try again. We try again. Hoping like maybe this time I'll be able to come to full bloom. Maybe this time I'll get to show all of me. There'll be no repercussions for me showing my colors with abandon. There's nothing more beautiful than a tree that just allows itself to, or is allowed to, bloom fully. And so I guess that's what I was looking for when I came here. You know, it's like the first time I came here, when I came to check the place out, I was so nervous. And the farther, it's like the closer I got to the border, the farther the states were behind me, I just started to feel these layers, and it was like I could almost see them blowing off of me. Like just this trail of, now I could say fear. It's been so long since I felt like I could just like take a walk, and not saying like I'm like, you know, just like an idiot out here, like not paying attention to my surroundings and all that. No, but, and this place is no utopia. But, well, you know what? It kind of is. Why do we feel like we have to do that? I guess maybe that's fear too, huh? Maybe that's fear too. Maybe there's like something in there where I don't want to say how good I feel because I'm afraid of the rug being pulled up underneath me. So I'm going to say, for me, in this moment, this place is utopia. And I do feel safe. And I'm not looking over my shoulder. And I'm not engaging in too many conversations that make me anxious or make me afraid. And I'm watching things that make me laugh that I've never watched before, like silly podcasts. And I'm not watching true crime documentaries anymore. And I'm not listening to true crime podcasts anymore. And I'm not, well, I might watch a scary movie today, but for the most part, I'm not watching scary movies anymore. I'm not engaging with fear in the same way. Yeah, I'm doing a new thing. I'm doing a new thing, and if it's possible for you to think about carving out something for yourself, something that's just yours, something that you want to protect, do it. If there's something that you want to put down, do it. If there's a life you want to live, live it. Because even though my life was so beautiful and so magical in New York, I can see now that I wasn't really living, and maybe I wasn't ever really happy. Like, in my soul happy. Like, down to my feet happy. And we deserve that. We fucking deserve it, especially as women. Especially as Black women. We deserve to have the full range of emotions. And the fact that I can just sit out here on my balcony on this beautiful day with my cat right next to me and cry is so beautiful. Nobody's judging me for my sensitivity anymore. And I can just like go to a coffee shop and just sit there and cry. And one of my friends was like, oh my God, that's like the most French thing to do ever. And I'm just so happy. I'm just so fucking happy to be out of the United States. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. And I don't know how long it's gonna last, but fuck it. Cancel and delete. It's gonna last. It's gonna last. So yeah, I don't know what else I can say. Why do I always end up fucking crying on these things? Oh my God. All right. That's it. I'm going to go ride a bike. I'm going to ride a bike today. So yeah, I'm going to fucking ride a bike at 12 o'clock in the afternoon on a Friday. Because I deserve to do that. So find something you love to do today. Just for you. All right. Thank y'all for listening. I'm Zoe Flowers, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.